ever a girl or someone who maybe wants to be a girl, you're trying to make a passion, you tell your partner stuff. This is like blind one and this is the way you do stuff that you want to do on the show. Or whatever. This is like, hey, you want to go and you know, find your lady, then you go down, you know, whatever. And it's, and it turns. What the hell are you? What do you think is so funny tonight? You're so, you know, I know your type. I was with you, you know, anything. Whatever it is they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a reflection on us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we seen this just the way we didn't read the text, we're not reading people. And if we saw one of them outside and slacking them off, we didn't.
So, is that how does that mean that you rule other butchers?
Because it had to be, you can't be out there fucking around and then come in there and say, you know, and stand up and next up and be with us. We don't fuck.
Mm-hmm.
We love women.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have any money, then we go broke for a while. Mm-hmm. And maybe our girlfriend helps us, but we get it back. But we don't go out and fuck for it. That was high standard. I mean, you could kick my ass on the street, kick it, and stomp it, and pour acid on me and disintegrate me right there. But you can never say that I was out fucking.
How did you get to be part of that culture? You come from a little town up in the Adirondacks.
Yeah.
You move here, you go to a vocational high school. You start to walk into bars. How do you break into this heavy-duty butch-oriented, hard-fighting culture? Where do people come from who congregate and become part of this?
You've got a feeling that something's missing. Madeline, what are you doing sitting here? How did you get here right now? Sitting here right now with this tape and puffing on your cigarette. How did you get here? How did you get an 85 to come alive at 80? How did you get here?
It's a long process.
Same thing. It's a long process. You just go and you're looking for whatever you're looking at, for a place that you belong, where you're comfortable. And I feel so sorry for those that never come out. I wouldn't even be alive today if I didn't just go ahead and bumble on through into what I just wanted to be and be stubborn about it and take my next like the rest. I'd come out now, I'd be a 45-year-old shaking creep and looking around and say, what do I do now? How do I get introduced? Well, who the fuck wants to know you? You gotta come out and make a name for yourself. Now, I can still come out and say, what do I do? You say, well, it's this way, Andy. This way, you know.
Well, look what happened to you at the bar the other night. All the people that were still there. That was a knockout.
Are we supposed to die?
No, I mean, I was just amazed.
Well,
at all the people
I was
that
too
you knew.
For all those young people. There was a few of us older ones there. It's really cute. But it got so that I got the feeling very funny, they're very uneasy, you know, because, well, where have you been? I didn't know what to say, you know, because I'm not in the bar. It wasn't because I wasn't gay, like, I was away 10 years, I wasn't gay or something.
Right.
I felt like, well, of course, they knew I would never change, but I didn't know really what to say. I've been home, that was the truth.
But there were still a lot of people there who knew you and who were real excited
to
see you.
You know, I had gray hair and I didn't recognize them. Do you remember how many? They said, well, this is so-and-so. I said, who? And, oh, yeah, goddammit. I didn't remember.
Right.
I didn't talk. That's what brain damage is safe.
No. You haven't changed very much. Visually. But I'm curious about the origins of of people who entered that kind of culture in the 50s. And if you could make money at those street bars, by picking up money off the bar by a lot of women who took the hustler's money, unlike you.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you bother to go to a bar like Bingo's? This sleazy dive. Where there wasn't any money.
Because it would always be the, why the carousel? That wasn't sleazy like Bingo's, but it was where you congregated. You're always looking for something that's going to be yours, that you're going to find someone. So, like, when we went to Bingo's, because Bingo's was known as a gay bar, so you could find somebody else. In fact, Mary Thomas, that kept saying, what was she saying the other night? You know how she came down there? And Bingo's was her first bar. Do you know how she came there?
Yeah.
Oh, you do know?
The radio.
The camp
for you.
And that was me. I said, you sound really slow. But when we started,
were you the dispatcher?
No, I was in Bingo. She was in the cab.
You're kidding!
And she said, I said, well, this is a, and we kept talking and talking. I said, well, this is a gay bar. Then you really come right. I said, this is a gay bar. I dare you not to come down. She said, wow, this is what I've been looking for. I don't believe this. And she's not even.
She was a dispatcher.
She was a dispatcher.
Holy
and
shit.
And she said, will you be there when I get there? And I said, I'll be here. Because she was getting done maybe at midnight or midnight. And she said, well, how will I know you? And I said, well, I'm Tom Thin, I have blonde hair. I said, how will I know you? She says, I'm black with black curly hair. And of course, if you ever talk to anyone over the phone, it's never what you visualize they're looking.
Sure.
They look like. So
sure.
I'm picturing when I'm talking, I've been talking for 2 hours to this girl on the phone, and I'm thinking, God, her fucking, I'm going to get so many people. And she says, oh, God. Then when she come in, you know, because blacks weren't around that much, you know. And then she came in, and she had this smile, the same as she has today. This, hey, she says, you got to be Andy with those golden curls. I said, oh, yeah, I said, come on, have a drink, Barry. And we go to the bar, and we've laughed about that ever since, because she was looking for the place, but she was also butch. So it's so funny when she did come, she's not only black, but she's butch, you know. But we ended up to be all right. She says, if I had never took that call, I'd have never found my way, you know. And,
isn't that
amazing? And it's funny, because like, she says, so you were sorry, she kept hugging, because she always says, you. I've been letting her hang up on the camp phone. You gotta come. I said, you know where it is now? I'll keep talking. All right, yeah, you'll know me there.
It's great. Yes, her story's about the beginning of it, but I had no idea it was you.
Yeah.
We didn't know if you were the end of the
Yeah,
phone.
That was me. She could tell you. I said, come on down here. I'll meet you right here. It was so cute. And here she comes in. She's bouncing bubbly right today like she was.
Yeah.
She and she was so happy. She looked around, you know, she couldn't believe it because Bingo's, oh my God, the only one that had the nerve to go in there would be queer. She thought the place was infested. And she said, oh, I'm home. God, what a homecoming that was.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Do you remember when Bingo's closed? The year?
Eight or nine. Because from there, we just went right up the street and took over the Mardi Gras. We were going to both. But Mardi Gras, we were bar hopping. We'd go back and forth. But Mardi Gras was still very mixed. There was everything there. There was straights, coloreds, pimps, whores, and gay people.
Uh-huh.
It was just a real roustabout. So we would sometimes walk up to the Mardi Gras and see if anything was happening or chicks, because a lot of those girls really did, the hookers liked the gay people because they got their affection there. They didn't get the mistreatment, things like that.
Yeah.
They sit there and buy you drinks just because you're nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hop back down to Bingo's because somebody maybe came in there that we missed.
Yeah.
And then when Bingo's closed, then we all Mardi Gras then, all Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like as bad as cockroaches. From there, we weaseled out of there and went right next door into Chesterfield. Then we weaseled around the corner, went down to Division, and we hit Dugan's. Dugan's
right.
Was also a Mardi Gras era thing. that was behind the stage door. This one went in, we started taking the showgirls, and we got to that bit. And then we went around the corner there to the Midtown, and we hit that, and we took over that just about.
Yeah.
And we just had that whole facility. We had all corners.
Mm-hmm.
All corners were ours.
I remember the Chester.
Yeah. All corners were ours.
I don't remember the Midtown.
And the Pimps. After the Pimps, some disliked us very much, but a lot of them did like us because they knew their girl was in check when they were with us.
Randy came out in the Mardi Gras.
Right.
Intended bar there? Intended bar there? She intended bar at the Midtown.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm trying to think which one was first. Mardi Gras was first.
Mm-hmm.
She intended bar at the Mardi Gras. First.
Did she wear a skirt?
Yeah.
While she was tending bar. But she wasn't femme.
No.
She was butch.
She had to wear a skirt. They were, the guy that owned the bar was afraid of her behind the bar in slacks. See, woman couldn't wear slacks in those days. That's what I've been trying
still,
to tell you. All these things
still.
Was a job. How do you think she felt back there making out with a girl with a skirt on? That was still the same time when you had to wear, you couldn't wear pants in a profession. You couldn't go into an office and be a typist
and
wear.
And being a barmaid was a profession.
Damn right it was. There was laws, there's liquor law, and everything, how you are presented on premises and everything. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And you can't have an undesirable behind your bar. She could have wore the slacks, he'd have got a charge. She'd have been fired, he'd have got a charge.
Mm-hmm.
It's undesirable.
That's interesting. I want to know a couple of also things. I'm not sure I'm following up on all of these topics, but there were a couple of terms that you used that I tried to redefine. Liz picked this up when she heard the first take. One of them was candy asses. You used the word candy asses.
Yeah.
And I said that meant sissies. Give me your definition.
Candy ass is a suck ass.
What's that mean?
Well, like if I said the world is a piece of shit molded and round, they say, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. They're a yes person. They're afraid to say what, you know, what they believe in or anything like that. And if I were to say it or you to say it, and if they were trying to be like in your crowd or, well, that's right. That's a candy ass.
Oh.
It's
okay. I see. Okay. That's a real clear definition. The other thing was you talked about women that you cared for. Now, you just told me a story about a woman who was a prostitute that you fell in love with. But most of the time when you talked about a lot of the women you were with, you said you cared for them. Is that the same as being in love, or is that different?
No, it's different.
What's different?
Caring for?
Caring for somebody and being in love with them.
Well, if I care for someone, I'll be the same as if I'm in love. To this point, I die for them. You know, I do anything I can for them. Because I care about them, I respect them. I could say love, probably. And I do love to do all that. I have to love them. But not in the respect they got a part of my heart. I mean, I do anything for them, but I don't love them sexually. That the sexual always fits into it, because I'm sexual with a lot of people, I'm not love them. It's just that they're really part of me. Without any physical thing, they mean an awful lot to me. I die for them.
That means to care for someone. But to be in love with them means what?
You lost me here. If I care for somebody, it doesn't mean I'm in love with them. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right. But what does it feel like to be in love with instead? What does in love with mean? Is that people who have a part of your heart?
They got, I don't love too many people. They've got a part of me, and
I'm trying to get the difference between what caring for someone and being in love with someone is. It's a little hard for me to understand.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. I can prove it more than explaining it.
All we have is a tape recorder. I mean, all we have is words to work with.
Don't you have a pop-up screen here?
No, I mean, we have to work with words, so that's all we've got.
I have people right now that I care for, do anything in the damn world for. Like a nuts person, I care a great deal about. And I think she would know more about me than the person that I love. But I don't tell too much. It's because you're leaving yourself open. And it's not just because you're gay. This works with any husband and wife teams. You know, you don't hear too much about it anymore, but they do happen. You know, they do get married. You know,
I remember. Yeah.
Male, female.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can whisper about them now. You know what? When I love, it's very personal. It's a person knows no, I can't even say that because I really don't share a lot of things. I don't. So ask somebody else that question. I can't.
Okay, if you can't explain more about the way you feel, do you have a feeling that the people that you've been close to, that are friends of yours, like Pat, maybe like Elaine, are the same way about caring for and being in love, or do you think you're different?
No, we're different. Elaine, well, I was tight with Elaine for maybe a couple of years, but not the last 15.
Right.
Okay. But I can talk. Elaine has her own way. Pat, I consider about like a pretty trustworthy friend. I've known her for years. We've gotten along about everything. We almost think alike, her and I. But yet she has a different way entirely than I do. Different conception of life. Like her, I don't really know what hers is, but I know it's not my way. Because that's why, well, I wouldn't have said I'd seen her once, first time in 10 years, if we were so much alike. I just had my way. Everybody's different. And
I guess that's the closest I'm going to get to the difference in definition. Because you used care for a number of times, and you used love or in love with very few times.
I understand. But understanding is a whole lot. And putting myself in someone's place. I'm trying to get what you want here.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'd say Pat and I are the closest, and yet her and I do not live the same life.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live the same life, but yet we're the closest. No, you figure that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess the
poof that out on
you. Sure. We can do it. It's all right. We have lots more time. Don't worry.
All right. When I heard that night when she was performing, and because I didn't catch everything, you know, I can't hear that too well. The ERA, that's a soap detergent, or laundry detergent. And I laughed. I said, I got to remember this. ERA. And I says, no way I can forget it because my aunt is in that. She goes to Washington and they have CRA. Because
mm-hmm.
we are the descendants. So.
D-A-R.
Yeah.
Direct detergent.
And
that's the next tape. I'm going to find out more about that.
Well, to get to the point, I wanted to tell you because of this tapes that you're making here, and how we were talking about the one about the T-shirt. Remember T-shirts?
Uh-huh.
And this is very funny, but it's really the truth. It's really, if you think about it, and Butch is always, we've worn T-shirts. That was our thing, right?
Right.
And most of the time, why did we wear T-shirts? Because we didn't wear a bra. And we came way before the ERA movement that happened,
uh-huh.
what, when did they start this big thing? Really, about 15 years?
Yeah.
We had thrown those away. We didn't burn them. We just threw them away and put on T-shirts. And boy, when you wore a T-shirt, wow, they didn't look to see where your tits were. Oh, you had a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We were the originals.
Did you wear your T-shirts right side front, or did you wear them backwards?
The reason for that... Do you want to know the reason?
No,
did you ever know the
reason?
Did
you wear your T-shirts backwards?
Depending on which brand it was.
Okay.
Now, do you know why?
I know, no,
you
I
don't
nothing
know
about
why.
It. I just heard about it.
Well, I will tell you why. It's the most simplest thing. Well, I think I'm going to tell you really simple, but this is really simple.
Mm-hmm.
When they made T-shirts, now, of course, they make them more of the contour of the body, you know, everything, even your T-shirts are custom. But in those days, you got the T-shirt. It was a neck this wide that you could put on King Kong, right? Now, what was always the highest part of the T-shirt is the neck.
Uh-huh.
So you put them on backwards, so it'd be higher up. You got it? Your T-shirt was down here in the back, but it was here. You understand? It was here.
Sure.
But in the back, it was probably down here.
Sure.
That's why we wore T-shirts backwards in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Was because it was higher in the back.
Somebody told us the story about being told her T-shirt was on wrong, and she had to turn it around backwards. And I wondered, you know,
that,
what
no, that was
about.
A lot of really wore. We, I did. Mm-hmm. I wore them backwards because your neck was higher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nice, and made it really cool neck, and they were really swift. Did you come out and here was the T-shirt down to here, and it's all wrinkled too from hanging off your shoulders? Oh, well, you look like a jerk. So you put them on backwards, and most of the time you cut the label out. That's why, if you ever found our T-shirts laying around your floor, I said, which is which? Because there's no label. We cut it out because you wore it in front.
That's
all right.
That's great.
Some of these things I wouldn't reveal to a lot of people, you know.
I know. Did you have any of your clothes custom made, or did you buy them all off the rack?
The only time I had them custom made was when I had someone buying them for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had them made at Astor Park. And the label.
What was that?
It was on Main Street. It was a very exclusive vent shop. And I went right in for tailoring. And that was really a tailor, you know, just about what?